We're talking here about some things that go along with the testimonies that, that Jack mentioned, as well as Mike as well. A testimony of resilience. I also want to thank you guys for praying for Cheryl. I know she had a big challenge here running that 5K this morning. I'm proud of her that she did make it through that. I didn't get the text that everybody else got, but I'm glad she did persevere. She ran week after week, and now she's got inside of her a lifestyle change. I know also keep on running on an ongoing basis. I ended up last week here on the testimony in the book here. I think it's called Unbreakable. The man whose name is Louis Zamperini. The guy had a movie that was made about him. He, of course, died, I think it was a few months ago, a year ago. But he was a World War II hero. They spent many, many months, 2.5 years, actually, in a POW camp in Japan. I mentioned, for those who were here last week and those who weren't here as well, for your sake, that in the book here, the movie as well, it shows about how Louis suffered 43 days on a little life raft, a dinghy, with two other friends who had a plane crash in the Pacific Ocean. And in that 43 days, he actually lost 100 pounds, from 166 pounds to 66 pounds. Had no food, had no water. I mentioned the story there of the albatross, how the albatross was something that landed on his head. He thought it was a skeleton, and how they caught that albatross and ate it, and of course did not hold it down. But the next time the albatross came, they used the meat for a bait to actually catch fish, and through that sustained themselves until finally they were rescued by not the Americans, but rescued by the Japanese, and placed in a Japanese concentration camp, prison camp, for 2.5 years. In this prison camp, he suffered all kinds of humiliations. He suffered tortures. He suffered medical experiments, things that actually were just totally against his nature and against his own body as well. And I want to give some things today, some lessons we can learn ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ from the lessons of people like Michael Moon, people like Louis Zamperini, about how we can face perhaps persecutions and face tough times in life, but still be resilient and still come through the other side with praise and worship in our mouths, bearing lasting fruit on the other side of trials, temptations, and difficulties in our lives. Amen. So I want you to write some things down this morning here, some take-home points again, some life lessons here from the life of Louis Zamperini. I'm going to have you folks also pray for me at the end of the service as I depart for Myanmar tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, that God does go before us. We're going to see the same thing as Jack had himself, some lasting fruit take place, some divine appointments happen, and God would use our mouths, and God would use our hearts, and God would use the anointing in our lives of the team that goes there to see lives change and transform for the glory of Almighty God. One thing I'm excited about this trip coming up here is also in Mandalay, the capital of the city, of the nation of Myanmar. We're going to have about 100 Chinese pastors and businessmen come together for at least 2 days of ministry. In a church on the other side of town, pastored by a man named Glenn Hubbard, his wife Suzanne, put together 5 teachings, about 10 pages long each, for 100 people to receive that in their own language from a guy whose name is Derek Prince. And so we're going to be passing those out on the gifts of the Spirit, the workings of God, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, being broken off our lives, things of that nature. We're believing God for many breakthroughs in those services and teaching times, both north and middle part of the country, the next 10 days. The first point to this morning is, number one, there is evil in the world. We got to realize that until Jesus Christ comes back, there will always be demons and Satan himself around us in numbers that cannot even be fathomed by our own brain. Of course, the good news again tells us, the Bible tells us, there's 2/3 of the angels of God still on our side. Plus, we have Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, working in us and through us and for us against any power of darkness that rears its head against us. And so realize, no matter what evil we see around us, we as believers have got a Savior working in our behalf who will bring forth victories every time if we'll just be resilient and persevere and not give up in the face of trials and bad things around us. So number one, there's evil in the world. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We got to realize that again, the devil and demons are real, and they've only come but to kill and steal and to destroy. They don't want us to have one good day, any day of our lives. They want every day you rise up to be a miserable day, a defeated day, a day of pessimism, a day of defeat, a day where Satan wins and God loses. That's why God says you wake up every morning, say the words, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in this day, because this day belongs to God and not to the devil." Amen? Every day is God's day, not Satan's day in our lives. We must also realize we need some supernatural abilities to fight against the powers of darkness that come against us every day of our lives. James chapter 4 and verse 17, or verse 7 says this, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I appreciate again the teaching is given by John Bevere on Wednesday nights. Talks very, very plainly, very clearly about what it means to submit to God. Many of us don't realize submitting to God means walking in the fear of God. Walking in the fear of God doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It means you have a divine awe and respect for the Lord. It's like you have a king living right there in your house, in your body, who's with you all the time, and you revere them so much, you try to find out their rules, their regulations, what pleases them, what makes them happy, what they love and what they hate, and embrace the good and reject the evil in your life. Submit to God. Then it says you must resist the devil, then he flees from you. That means we have a part ourselves in prayer, in praise, in worship, in obedience, in memorizing God's word, in quoting God's word, in speaking God's word, in going and doing what God says to do. It says you resist the devil and he will flee from you every time. I want to encourage you grandparents, you parents that are here, your children need your prayers. They need your obedience. They need your life with God. They need your example. They need God and you to be shown in front of their faces so mightily they cannot help but come under conviction when temptations come their ways. In their public schools, among their friends, among their peers, God wants us to resist the devil for our children's sake as well, and believe that they shall be mighty in the land in these last days. I believe Tree of Life Church is producing warriors for God. Producing warriors in prayer, in evangelism, in arts, in creativity, in inventions, in the computer realm, the tech realm. I believe God's producing warriors in this church through us, through God's workings inside of us and through us. And may it come to pass. I praise God for the word that was given there by James. And may that be so for us. We are mentors for the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. From the very beginning of time, God told Cain, he said, "Beware, Cain, look out, because sin is crouching at your door. It desires to master you in your life." Even Jesus Christ tells the Apostle Peter before he dies on the cross, he says, "Beware, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat and bring bad things into your life." Praise God that Peter was resilient. By God's help, by Jesus Christ coming to him on the other side of the cross, he forsakes his old life of fishing and comes back into full-time public ministry once again, writing much of the New Testament there, planting churches, seeing thousands saved for the glory of God. God wants us all to be like this, be resilient for him. Though bad things may take place for a season, we are passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen? Bad things will not last for a long time, but God's goodness remains forever. All right. The conditions were so bad that of 34,000 POWs in the prison camps of World War II, Japanese prison camps, over one-third of those prisoners died before either escaping or being let go because the war was finally over. This man named Louis Zamperini was tortured, humiliated, routinely beaten, given medical experiments that were totally dehumanizing. He was forced into slave labor. He was starved. He also was given food that was so incredibly bad you could hardly even hold it down in your body. This guy went through horrible, horrible, hellish things for 2.5 years. But you're going to see as the story goes unfolds here how God brings redemptive things even from evil that took place in his life. The movie showed also there was one particular guard that was named the Bird. I'm not sure how he got that name. But the other prisoners called him the Bird. This guy was so bad and so evil, he tried to do anything he could do to humiliate people, to beat people, and cause a living hell to be a part of their lives upon the earth. The movie shows whenever Louis Zamperini first met the Bird face to face, standing in line with other prisoners who were coming in the camp for the first time, it says the Bird beat him mercilessly because he would not look him in the eye. When he finally got up off the ground and looked him in the eye, he beats him again for looking him in the eye. He could not win for losing. This guy hounded Louis, tortured Louis, mocked Louis, spit on Louis, caused Louis all kinds of trouble his 2.5 years in the camp. The good news is God was with him in so many ways that he brought him through those trials, tribulations, with great victories in his life. Veterans of the Vietnam War who read the book by Louis Zamperini, his testimony there of his life in the POW camp, these POWs of Vietnam said his stories, his testimony, his book brought to us courage and strength and might to persevere and press on through and not die in those camps in Vietnam years and years ago. We that are here right now have got a great debt of love to pay to our veterans in this room, in this nation, in this city, in our country. These guys have seen things that are hellish. They've seen things that are grotesque. They've seen friends die. They've seen themselves being wounded. They've seen themselves even sometimes being tortured and depraved themselves in prison camps. And I say with all together, all of us, we praise God and thank God for the sacrifice they've made for our freedom, for our liberty, and things we have today to be thankful for in Jesus' name. Amen. There's also those who have suffered in similar ways in the congregation by having in your own household beatings take place by sometimes your own parents, by your own siblings, by your own peers. You've had times take place perhaps of violations to your own body. You might have gone through abuse. You might have gone through great rejections. You might have seen addictions all around you. You might have heard yellings and cursings and swearings. You might have seen neglect take place in your life, in your own household growing up as a child. The good news is that as God healed Louis Zamperini, God also will heal you and heal all of us who go through pains and wounds and bruises in this life. That's why I believe even Jesus Christ himself, the very first message he gives, says, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at captives those that are bruised and wounded in Zion in the church of Jesus Christ. I'm praying to God also at Tree of Life Church, we're going to take the wounded folks that God sends to us and see them healed, see them transformed, see them set free, see them loved unconditionally, and see their lives put on a solid path to be actually fruit bearers themselves in due time. Amen? Because wounded people really can't bear a lot of fruit. They're just too hurt. They're too banged up. When I saw Frank Lucarini yesterday in the dialysis center, because his kidneys are now functioning at 100% capacity, it's amazing to see his face is now glowing. He's smiling. The stomach aches are gone. His body functions are normal once again. And so you can see how in the natural realm, when healing takes place, how good things always are a byproduct of that. How much more when your soul, your mind, your emotions are healed up, does God bring forth great fruit out of your life as only he can do. Amen? So the fact is there's evil in the world, and God came about dealing with evil by the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ, Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, what he suffered before the cross has paid for every pain, every transgression, every beating, every bit of suffering man can go through has been paid for by Jesus over 2,000 years ago. We must, like Michael Moon said today, though, appropriate what Jesus Christ has done, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from us. That means God then comes in and fills those vacuums up that are left behind when Satan leaves. Amen? Number two, we also find here in this next lesson, a single act of kindness can mean the world to a person in pain. A single act of kindness can mean the world to a person in pain. Now, why is this? Number one reason this is, there's the God factor. I found that God and the Holy Spirit will always make sure those who need to see kind acts done will see them done by the body of Jesus Christ. I've seen time and time again, someone who's a believer does something very simple like giving their chair up, driving somebody home from church, giving someone a coat, giving somebody a free meal during a time of hospitalization. I've seen those acts of kindness do more than you can ever ask or think or imagine when God's hand is on that and God breathes on that and God drives home in people's hearts, I love you, I care about you, and I'm here for every detail of your life. Have you seen how God does that? May God use all of us more and more for simple acts of kindness that helps to transform and change lives in good ways. We have a God of mercy. a God of compassion who, praise God, had mercy and compassion on you and I. If God was not a God of mercy, we would all be French toast right now. Amen? We would all be crispy critters. He would have sent us to hell a long time ago. When Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross, he would have spoke one word, sent down all of his angels, wiped out all of creation, and begun all over again. But I praise God that God's a God of love and mercy, and God let his son Jesus die on that cross, that through his sacrifice, through his suffering, he might redeem us back to himself to live with him forever and ever and evermore. Praise God for eternity, and praise God for his love. Amen. Churches are not meant to be places of judgment. We're to be places of mercy. Amen. When somebody comes to a place like this, they're not here to be shown how bad they are, how much God's against you, how much God's mad at you. You're here to be loved, cared for, nurtured, and said, God is for you, not against you. And God is glad that you are here. No matter what your state is today, no matter what you've done even last night, God is for you, not against you. You're not here to be judged by us. You're here to be loved by God. And may his mercy endure forever in our lives. Now, God may convict. God may bring sometimes his own little needle inside of our heart that says it's time to repent and time to turn from some things. That's God's job, not mine, not yours. That's what God does best. Amen? And God draws folks to himself, not away from himself when he does that. Back to the story of Louis. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. A guard one day knocked on Louis' cell and asked him, are you a Christian? And Louis said back to him and thought for a while, well, yes, I am. And Louis thought there to himself, you know, back when I was only about 4 or 5 years old, I went to church way back then. This guy's now, I think, in his late 20s. He was a Christian or going to church 15 years, 16, 20 years ago. He said, well, back when I was about 4 or 5, 6 years old, I came into a church service and was late, and the pastor came off the platform, grabbed me by the ear, and twisted my ear for being late. Now, that doesn't happen today. We have a whole lot of ear twisting going on, amen? And Louis Zamperini, he said, that was the last time I went to church up till this day. You see, judgment doesn't draw people to Jesus. Mercy does. But he believes he was a Christian. He believed he loved God. He believed in God, believed in Jesus. His mother was a Christian, so he said, I'm a Christian. Well, this guard happened to be a believer himself. He began to take and sneak food into Louis' cell little by little, day by day, to help nourish him for how bad the food was in that prison. If the guards had found this out, this guy would have been in a whole lot of trouble. His name in the book was Kamarua. One day, he noticed how when he came to the cell that Louis Zamperini's face was all injured and his eyes were puffed up and there was almost blood running down his cheek. He said, what happened? Well, one of the guards poked his stick through the bars trying to poke out Louis' eyes, but he missed his eyes and hit his face instead and caused open sores and bleeding to take place on his face. This Christian guard tells Louis, don't worry, I'll take care of you. He pointed his big old giant biceps. The next day, Louis looks out of his bars out in the yard there where the guard was at that tried to poke his eyes out. That guard had a bandage all over his head, a fat lip, and two black eyes. You see, somehow, some way, God showed up. And God worked through this guard. And that guard never bothered Louis again the rest of his 2 years or however long it was he was in that condition in the prison. Another Christian guard also snuck in charcoal to help keep the prisoners warm. Christian guards did this in Japan. They also helped to give them some medicine to keep them alive until they could escape or be released because the war was finally over. These guards that did this medicine thing and this charcoal thing, they would have had their heads cut off or been shot by a firing squad if they'd been caught doing this. They risked their lives to do acts of kindness to fellow believers in a prison camp in the 1940s, years and years ago. I want to say single acts of kindness can mean a whole lot to people who are in pain. Amen? Number three is time does not heal all wounds. God does. Time does not heal all wounds. God does. There are folks here today in this congregation that are still holding wounds in their hearts that are 30, 40, and 50 years old. Time has not healed those wounds yet. Only God can heal things of unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, and things of the past that hurt us a long time ago. The good news is God does heal even old wounds. Amen? When Louis got out of prison and the war was over, he became abusive to his wife. He became an alcoholic. He was full of rage. He was full of anger. He was sitting in front of his TV screen, cursing, yelling, full of rage and anger. He thought about the man called the bird. He had him in nightmares and dreams almost every single night. Have some kind of a nightmare take place. He would toss and turn. One night he found himself in his dream choking the bird to death. And he woke up, he was choking his wife to death. And he was going through post-traumatic stress disorder big time. This guy had no hope for his life except through the power of Jesus Christ. He tried to manage his life by alcohol. But finally, by God's grace, in 1949 in Los Angeles, he wanders into a Barnum Bailey guys. What's their names again? The Ringling Brothers. That sounds good. Barnum and Bailey, whatever. He walked into their tent, circus tent, years and years ago. And in that tent was Billy Graham preaching an evangelistic crusade and preaching on John 3:16. This message of forgiveness, God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, touched his life so much and so strongly that as a few more months or weeks goes by, he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and got his life transformed for God. This picture on the screen now that Tyler's going to show us is a guy named Tim Tebow. He was on the Denver Broncos team several years ago, playing in a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This guy would wear this John 3:16 with the black marks under his eyes every single football game he played. Now, you may or may not be a Tim Tebow fan, but the fact is, when this man, young man, wore this on the TV screens a couple of years back on a Sunday playoff game, the most Googled phrase ever seen on a Monday was John 3:16 the next day. People across our nation and even around the world looked up, what does John 3:16 actually say? You see, this guy's at least being a testimony. He's being a witness. He's getting the word out somehow, some way. Jesus loves and Jesus saves. Amen? It took a while, but eventually Louis comes to Christ, gives his life to Christ. When somebody has been through all the things that Louis has gone through, I found that God will normally use their pain, their anguish, their experiences in some redemptive way to help other people get set free. The same thing was true for Louis. They found out that as time was going by, once he got saved, the house that he lived in was full of liquor. The first thing God touched was his liquor. He said, I want all the liquor out of your house. He had all kinds of wine, whiskeys, bourbons, beers, whatever. He even had one 300-year-old bottle of expensive cognac. Now, some guys did research on cognac and find out what it's worth today. If it's 100 years old, it's worth $200,000. His was 300 years old. That's back in the 1940s, okay? So there's a little bit less inflation back there, but that's a whole lot of money the cognac was worth. What does Louis do? Louis pours all the liquor down the drain in the toilets, flushes all of it down, but he keeps the cognac and sells it, probably for a whole lot of money to pay for his own ministry, I would imagine, as time was going by. Amen? A smart man. He said that from that day on, there was no more nightmares. There was no more anger. There was no more hatred. There was no more pain in his life. He did his part. He resisted the devil, and God showed up. Satan fled from him, ran away from him. God shows up, and God fills that vacuum up. What Louis said there was is like a doctor came to me and cut the part of my brain for hate clear out of my head. I could no longer hate people anymore in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. He experienced this himself years and years ago. God transforms us, gives us a new heart, a new mind. God wants also us to walk in forgiveness also every day of our lives. Amen? When David had an opportunity in the Old Testament to kill Saul, Saul was trying to take his life, trying to wipe him out, trying to make sure he could preserve his own kingship by being cruel and mean to him, chasing him from cave to cave, from place to place, in a very, very merciless type manner. What does David do? When David finally has a chance to kill King Saul, what does David do? 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 10 and verse 12, it says this. Look, this day, this is David talking to Saul. David speaks to Saul here. Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone among my people urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Let the Lord judge between you and me. Let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Notice what it said there again. It says, my eye would not allow me to kill you. What does that mean? Your eye is the mirror of your soul. David's soul had no anger, no hatred, no vengeance in it whatsoever. Because his eye was full of purity, God's love, God's peace, and God's mercy, when he saw Saul, he saw him through the eyes of mercy, not the eyes of vengeance. If David had killed Saul that day, it would have ruined David's life from that point forward. And God would have destroyed David's life somehow, some way, and raised up somebody else to take his place as the king of Israel. Praise God that David's eye was full of mercy, love, and compassion. And he spared his life instead of taking his life. And of course, as the months go by, Saul's life was taken. He was wiped out at the hands of the Amalekites, but not by the hand of David in vengeance. Forgiving others is not an emotion. It's an act of your will. I want you to catch that. Forgiving others is not an act of emotion. It's an act of your own will. You must choose to forgive others. Amen? You may not feel like it. They might have been unjust to you, done wrong things to you, and made you very, very mad and very angry. You cannot work by your emotions to forgive others. You must choose an act of your will. I will forgive them. Every day of my life, I walk in forgiveness in Jesus' name. One of the most powerful events in the world's history took place when Jesus Christ said the words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. If he had not said those words, we would not be here today. Praise God that Jesus Christ, tortured by mankind, naked on a cross, being whipped, beaten, and shown to the world as a sinful person, was actually totally sinless. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. Praise God, he said those words. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus Christ knew he was not fighting his flesh and blood. He was fighting his powers of darkness in high places. He knew that Judas had a place in him of the devil himself to betray him. He knew that Pilate had Satan's place in him also for power and greed to actually cause him to go to serve a trial and be sentenced to death. He knew the Pharisees were full of religion, pride, and arrogance, that they themselves betrayed him also and sold him off to a place of death and crucifixion. He knew also the soldiers were full of violence and full of all kinds of vile, base things that beat him and smote him and whipped him. He also knew the crowds around him were very, very swayable, very, very vacillating, up one day and down the next. He didn't put his trust in the crowds. He knew what was in people around him. And through that knowing in his own heart, he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. God wants us to walk in forgiveness. It might be the key to your healing. It might be the key to your spiritual breakthrough. It might be the key to you hearing God's voice once again in your life. If you walk in unforgiveness, it will put up blockages for you to receive God's best in your life. Amen? Something is always robbed from you every time when you walk in unforgiveness. I beg you this morning, please forgive. And please continue forgiving on an ongoing basis. It only does you harm when you hold unforgiveness towards others around you in this life. Amen? Number four, fourth lesson here from Louis Zamperini is this. Forgiveness includes a quest for reconciliation. If any of us have been raised in prejudice against a race or a nation, that's also a form of unforgiveness that God wants broken off of your lives. We're seeing in the media right now a whole lot of stories about racial prejudice. And those things are right or wrong. That's not the main point. The main point is, why is this coming before us right now? Maybe God's dealing with the church's heart as well, saying it's time to not hold prejudice towards races or nations upon the earth. You know, I was raised myself in Missouri when I was only like age 3 to age 8. Those guys were highly prejudiced. There was only white faces all around me all the time. Then I found myself in Wichita, Kansas, and Kansas and Wichita was on the news every night in the 60s for racial riots happening in our middle schools, junior highs, and high schools almost every single day. When I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, God took all prejudice and all things toward other races out of my heart and gave me a love for all people by the power and grace of Almighty God. Then I found myself traveling overseas about 10, 15 years ago for the first time to Belarus and Ukraine, former Russian nations. I, like you, had been trained years ago that Russia hates us. Russia's the big bear. It's a very, very evil nation, very evil kingdom. The Cold War told us by propaganda that all Russians are evil, and let's go ahead and nuke all of them and blow them off the face of the earth and live in peace forevermore. Then I found myself going to Belarus and going to Ukraine and seeing people like you over there. Mothers, fathers, sons and daughters, teenagers, 20-some-year-old, born-again, spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ, full of the glory of Almighty God. And I said, praise God we did not send nuclear bombs to Russia years ago. These folks would never have known the gospel of Jesus Christ and been born again. The fact is, there are precious people in Iran, in Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Libya, Nigeria, who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And many already do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's their government heads sometimes that are the evil ones. It's not the entire nation that should die and go to hell. Amen? So I'm saying, let's pray for the nations. Let's pray for countries. Let's not hold our hearts of hatred toward any people on the face of this earth. We're not fighting against men. We're fighting against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in high places. Amen? In Time magazine, Louis said this, I'd rather be dead than go back to Japan. I never want to see that place again. Then he goes to a Bob Pierce Christian conference in 1940s. At that conference, Bob Pierce said, listen, I hear the Spirit of God telling me that Japan is right now wide open for the gospel of Christ after their defeat in World War II. Can you guys start praying for Japan that God would send forth workers and laborers to go to Japan with the gospel of Jesus Christ? When he said those words, Louis Zamperini had the Spirit of God in him leap up and say, that's you. I want you to go to Japan. Louis was freaked out. Well, a few hours goes by, and the young pastor friend sitting next to him talks to him in the parking lot and says, the Holy Spirit tells me to give you $500 for a plane ticket to Japan. I think God wants you in Japan. A few more hours goes by, and a Christian singing group at the conference that day approaches Louis and says, we're going to receive donations for you, God, you right now, Louis. I believe God wants you to go back to Japan and share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those folks. So please go there in Jesus' name. Louis said, three things takes place real fast to show him God wants me back in Japan. He goes back to Japan in obedience. On the way there, before he took place, God changed his heart from hatred towards love for the Japanese people. He goes back to the place, and one Christian couple received a note or gave a note to one of the guards, actually a guard that actually had tortured Louis years ago. And the guard's note to the Christian couple with Louis said this, do you think that Louis has forgiven us? Louis answers himself back to the guard and says, yes, I have. He goes to the camp called Sagamo, where he actually was held for 2.5 years or almost 2 years. When he goes to the camp, the whole place is packed full of the guards that tortured him and other guards as well, listening to him preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and share his testimony. At the end of his message, he says, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand. Almost every person raised their hand in that room that day. They said that we cannot believe that you can love us so much, you come back to this place and forgive us. Your Christianity, your Christian God must be real. Then Louis goes beyond that and says, I want all the guards who tortured me and beat me in a personal way. I want to meet with you guys in private by yourselves. Those guys got out of their seats. They ran to the front and stood side by side by the platform. Louis jumps off the platform, embraces them, holds them, and cries over them. He has forgiven them. God has set him free and also them free as well in their lives. We serve a good God. Amen. One guard said, I don't understand this, but I do know this God, this Jesus, must be real. Last of all, number five, God is able to bring redemption out of evil. You need to catch that. God is able to bring redemption out of evil. Romans 8:28 again says this, and we know all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called, the called according to his purpose. I want to remind you guys again today that God's redemption was shown to all of us in America in the 9/11 disaster when those three airplanes hit those three places. The first place that got a plane crash was a place called, it was called Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The shank is a part of the lamb Israelites ate on Passover to receive forgiveness of their sins. It actually crashed in a pasture at Lamb's Crossing Road in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The second airplane crashed in the World Trade Center and destroyed both towers. We all saw there a few days later how the walls and the buildings came tumbling down. The rebar, the I-beams, formed three crosses, very, very distinct there, showing the world, the nation, Jesus Christ still forgives. He still saves. He still redeems what is evil upon the earth. And the third airplane hits the Pentagon, destroys part of the Pentagon, and one room was totally burned up, but one Bible was totally untouched in a burnt up room. It was opened up to the book of Psalms that talked about God's redeeming work and God's forgiveness upon the earth. Even in 9/11 disaster, God is working redemptively to draw people to Jesus Christ, because God knows Satan's evil, demons are evil, but God loves us so much, he wants all men to be saved by his power and grace. Amen? So, all of us here have had bad things take place to us over time, and probably will have bad things happen for us in the future should the Lord tarry. This is going to be a time where Linda talks about, again, the movie coming out on the blood moons. There's signs in the heavens. There's signs in nations how evil is getting more and more dark, it seems. But the Bible says where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. And I'm believing God with Jack Adams also that Nigeria shall be saved. We'll see inroads in Libya. We'll see inroads take place in Myanmar more and more and more. Grace will abound more and more as sin abounds around us. Amen. And it'll also be the same case for Austin, Texas. Though we see partying, revelry, atheists, and things around us that turns our stomachs sometimes in this city, may God arise in Austin, Texas. And may we see revival and salvation break forth in this city in greater measure than it's ever seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Is James on the platform here to help me out here? James, please. I'm going to say in closing that Louis went on to speak all over the world in evangelistic crusades, testimonies, and his message. The book of Revelation says they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony, did not love their lives unto death, and by the blood of a lamb. This man had all three of those things in his life, and through that, thousands came to Christ. He worked in boys' camps. He worked among homeless people. He had a retired person's church in Hollywood. This man learned to actually skateboard at age 81. 81 years old, he takes skateboard lessons. You're never too old for your body to whip into gear and run 5K runs. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm saying to you guys again, let's go ahead and be balanced in our body and our soul and our spirit and be strong in the Lord, even as Caleb was in his old age, still serving God with all of his heart. Amen. The mayor of a Japanese suburb, city suburb, in 1998 asked Louis Zamperini this question. Did anything good come out of your 2.5 years in prison camp? Louis said back to him, because Louis had a great sense of humor, said, yes, it did. It helped me survive 53 years of marriage. He had a beautiful, lovely wife. He was a jokester. He was a prankster. He wasn't serious. But I'm saying to you guys, he could still laugh at life after all the torture, all the abuse, all the mistreatment, all the bad things he saw. Post-traumatic stress disorder was taken out of his soul, and Jesus Christ set him free, as only he can do. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now in prayer. Let's pray to God today that he may help us to be able, those that are like Louis, that can walk in forgiveness, walk in newness of life. Because the truth is, to be resilient, to be able to bounce back from any tragedy, you have got to be a person who walks in forgiveness every day of your life. The Bible says number one tool Satan would use to take Christians out of the body of Christ is offenses, wounds, bruises, hurts, misunderstandings, things that hurt your hearts. And I'm saying today, as your pastor, please, let's choose to walk in forgiveness and hold nothing against anybody who trespasses against us. They trespass against us. They're in our territory. They're in our face. They're in our kids' face. They're doing things to our children. They're trespassing against us. Let's forgive those people, even this morning. Father God, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today, help us, God, be those who right now know, who is it you want us to forgive? We choose right now, oh God, as our own act of our own will, to forgive that person, those people, from our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, as well, help us be those who walk in constant forgiveness. To rise up every day and say, I will forgive even before the offense takes place in my life. Help me, oh God, be what is called a Teflon Christian, that offenses go right off of me, just like, again, water in Teflon pans. And help us, God, be those also who walk in love and seek out little acts of kindness to be used, oh God, by your anointing, by your Spirit, to be a blessing to those around us who need to see the works of God in Jesus' name. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. One moment longer. I want to remind you, I think it's in Matthew 5:16. I think it says these words. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What that means is we don't get saved by works. We don't stay saved by works. We don't make God happy by works. But it means that the glory of God, the weight of God, the presence of God will cause us to have opportunities to do good works. And when those good works are available to us to do, God says, walk in those good works, do those good works, and through that, you will then release that glory that I put on you upon the earth. It'll glorify the Father who is in heaven upon the earth. Father, I pray right now, give each one of us divine opportunities to do little acts of kindness this week. Help us, God, to know who to reach out to, who to speak kind words to, who to forgive, who to bless in finances or in our own giftings and talents and abilities. Help us, God, know who to pray for, who to reach out to, who to share the gospel with. And Father, I praise you, O God, this day. We are a people that say, we will walk in the light because you are light and we are light in the Lord. Let our light, O God, so shine before men they may see our good works. Glorify the Father which is in heaven. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. Praise you, God. One more moment as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today. Is there anybody here this morning who's having a hard time, perhaps just walking the Christian life out yourself? You're going through a time and a season where you may feel alone. You may feel that you're in this fight by yourselves. You might be feeling almost overwhelmed by pressures and trials facing you right now in your life. We are here as a body of Christ not to judge you, not to condemn you. We're here to love you and lift up your arms and be a prayer and love support with you in the time of trial. If anyone's like that today, would you be very honest right now? Just raise one of your hands up. Just raise your hand up. Anybody else? Just raise a hand up. Anyone else? Praise God. My business for one person. That's great, because God loves that one person. Let's all stand to our feet now, if you would, please. I'm going to ask the one whose hand was raised up and those who want to join this person as well to make one more step today. If you do that, please. Please come out of your seat. Come to the front. Just stand up here on this side over here, please, if you do that. I'm going to ask Shannon, some prayer partners that are here, to gather around these ones whose hands are raised up. If you'll come to the front, I want you to be available here to pray with them, if you'll be prayed for today, that God will see that weight broken off your life. In the name of Jesus. Let's just give God right now a clap of praise and thanks for touching, for healing, delivering, for setting free, for doing what God wants to do in this life. Thank you, Father God. Lord, also I know there's other people here today who will be facing in the future trials, tribulations, things that may be too hard for them to bear in their own flesh. I say, Father God, you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. Let us, O God, never grow weary or despondent or even lax in the things of God around us. Let us, O God, be those who are like the wise virgins whose lamps are filled to overflowing, so we find ourselves being resilient, perseverant, ready, steady, and going through longevity. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, God. I thank you for your faithfulness upon this people, Father, in Jesus' name.